We invite you to enjoy this sermon presented by the Reverend Bob Geckler on June 30, 2024. The title is Feeling Better?
Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he had put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord. And please be with me in the spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts together be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Do you remember what we heard about last Sunday? Last Sunday, we heard about Jesus out in a boat with his disciples, and he calmed a storm with his simple words, "Peace, be still." That was pretty incredible stuff to hear, and certainly challenges our faith and beliefs. That a simple command could stop the forces of nature, even for the Son of God. Our gospel reading for today presents us with yet another challenging example of the power of God through Jesus Christ. We hear of two individuals being healed simply by the presence of Jesus. These are, of course, not the only examples of Jesus healing someone heard throughout the gospel stories. But they are significant. These examples certainly bring us an important topic to think about. As Jesus comes ashore and the crowd begins to gather, Jairus spotted Jesus and rushed over to him. He begs Jesus to heal his young daughter. She's on the brink of death. Jesus begins to go with him, but the crowd moves along with them, wanting to get closer and closer to Jesus. You can just picture that mob scene in your minds. Within that crowd is a woman who has suffered from hemorrhaging for 12 years. That can't be a pleasant situation, and no doubt has kept her from many aspects of life, and probably weakened her as well. She had endured many efforts to make her well, but nothing had worked. "All I need to do is touch his robe, and I will be made well again," she thought. Somehow, in spite of this crowd, she manages to work her way through the crowd to get to Jesus, and indeed does touch his robe. Immediately, she is made well again. Jesus senses that someone has touched him and asks who it was, though no doubt he knew it was this woman. The woman was afraid to admit it was she who had touched his robe. But yet she falls at Jesus' feet and tells him the whole story. She was no doubt afraid that Jesus would condemn her for what she did and somehow make a mockery of her. But that was far from what Jesus had in mind. Instead, he praises her and tells her, within earshot of the crowd, that her faith has made her well. "Go in peace and rejoice in your life, in health and in faith." He then continues on the way to care for the daughter of Jairus. As he goes, a message comes that she had died. He tells Jairus, "Relax, do not fear, only believe." When they got to the house, Jesus went in with the parents and told the girl to get up. She did so and was walking around and had something to eat. Jesus is, of course, not the only one we hear of in Scripture who has healed someone. Elijah, Peter, and Paul are among those who are recorded as healing people from diseases. In his farewell discourse to the disciples, as recorded in Mark chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus told his disciples, among other things, that they, Jesus' followers, shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The big question is, do you believe this? Do you believe that a simple, prayerful touch can heal someone of whatever disease they are afflicted with? Whether physical or mental, such as the idea of casting out demons or evil spirits. The concept is the same. Do you believe? It's an important question. There are, of course, religious groups that follow the concept of faith healing and shun the use of doctors and the medical community to varying degrees. Those following Christian Science are perhaps one of the better known, but others, such as some Pentecostal churches and, to some extent, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, and certainly a variety of independent ministries over the years, such as the Foursquare Church of Amy Semple McPherson or the ministry of William Branham, are significant examples. There have, of course, been detractors and mockers over the years. The character created by radio personality Don Imus, the Right Reverend Dr. Billy Saul Hargis, comes to mind. I am in no way condoning anyone who mocks the faith or beliefs of another. We are each entitled to believe or not believe as we see fit, but are not entitled to mock or belittle others who see things differently. I have no doubt that the vast majority of us here do indeed have some belief in the healing power of God, but also see that healing blessing at work through the gifts of those in the medical professions. We are greatly blessed by the amazing advances that modern medicine offers us. Those are indeed a gift from God. The disciple Luke was a physician, and we don't see Jesus telling him to no longer be a physician in order to follow him. In Luke's gospel, we find the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man was seriously injured by robbers. A Samaritan came along and found him. He bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. That was the medical practice of the times. Jesus does not indicate in this story that there is anything wrong in what he did. In fact, he praises the actions of this Samaritan. As a pastor, I do very much believe in the practice of praying over those who are sick. It's an important part of ministry, and whether we believe those prayers actually bring healing closer or not, those prayers do help to build up the person in their times of distress. I have also been that person in a hospital bed, and I know well how much it meant to me to have my pastor reach out and pray with me and for me. As the writer of our reading from the book of Lamentations wrote, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. He will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love." That God that created us loves us and will never leave us. Jesus promised that whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Clearly, that includes healing us of our infirmities. Indeed, through prayer and faith, God can heal us if only we believe. We may not understand how and may not understand the outcome, but trust that God knows far better than we do what is best for us. Amen. Please be with me again in prayer. Lord God, we pray that you will always hear our prayers and will grant healing of body, mind, or spirit in your time and way. Give us patience when we want immediate results, that we may accept that our ways are not your ways, and our time is not your time. Give us that faith, Lord Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
You have heard a sermon delivered on June 30th, 2024, by the Reverend Bob Geckler. The title was, "Feeling Better?" Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.